All right, we have a couple speakers this morning here, and Pastor Stan Collins, Pastor Drew Wilczek will be sharing with us this morning. Both have a great connection to South America. I think Pastor Drew, you now have a daughter-in-law from South America, right? That's right. So that's amazing. So Pastor Stan came here to Bible College and did a lot of work in Hyattsville area, Spanish-speaking area, and has been in South America, Peru, and now in Argentina. Would you welcome him?
That's what I thought. Saturday morning is bring your own water. It's okay. Hey, it's good, huh? Wow, it's so good to be here. This is amazing. Yeah. It's great to see you all. Thanks, Pastor Steve. Yeah. So, who would have ever thought we'd had so many friends, huh? I mean, amazing, isn't it? How many of you remember the message from Pastor Teplov last night? Is he here? Is Pastor Teplov here? Come here for a second, Pastor Teplov. Okay. All right. I'm happy you're here because I can't do what you did. Okay. But, Oh, yeah, I'm sure, really. Yeah. Okay, Father, we pray you just really anoint this and bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that God will answer that prayer? Only 40% of you believe that God will answer that prayer. Okay, the other 60, we're going to convince you. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Remember, right? Says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. there's two ways that you could think about like that verse. One is, okay, and we talked about it a little bit this morning in the pastor's meeting. Well, we can't really tell most of you like exactly what we say in the pastor's meeting. Okay. No, we can't, really. We can't. We would be immediately, our ordinations would be recalled, right, Pastor Tepla? But, like, okay, you could say, like, well, why is the axe dull, right? And it's a good question because, like, okay, if my axe got dull, then maybe I wasn't paying attention, right? So that's a message. That's not my message this morning. But that's a message. That's a good message. Like, actually, maybe a series of messages, like on keeping the axe head sharp. But the other is, okay, like, what do you do now that the axe head is dull? It's better to keep it sharp, but okay, but let's say it's dull. Like, you know, do you remember the message? Okay. Like the movements, and you know what we need the movements, and we need the sound because this is what I mean. Number one, I don't want to do the movements because too many of you have like cell phone cameras and stuff that you know, and you know, so I don't want that on you know with me, but with him it's okay.
I just you know like just do yeah. the like yeah. the first and then the second, do the dull one and then the sharp one.
Okay. Really,
the dull one.
Okay.
The sound and everything.
Okay. I believe YouTube will be full of that. Okay.
The dull one. I'm not asking you to preach. Just
No. Okay.
This is the problem with like giving another pastor the microphone.
Yeah.
Okay, not a word. Okay, the dull one is... And the sharp one, chop, 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 chop.
Okay, wait. What were some of the things that you said that when you did the, like, the sharp one? You know,
the sharp. I don't know. I don't remember.
It's okay.
Okay. Hey, Pastor Arto, where are you, Pastor Arto? Pastor Arto is here because Pastor Steve told me that his flight twice now has been canceled, and he was supposed to be gone and back. But so this message is apparently for you, Pastor Arto. James chapter 3. Okay, now we're going to get serious. No, this is all serious. This is awesome. James chapter 3, verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. All right. How about you? Can you tame the tongue? You know? It says in my Bible, it says nobody. Like, that's what it says in my Bible. Nobody can tame the tongue. And the women are saying, it says no man can tame the tongue. You know, knock it off. Okay. No human being can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Do I hear an amen? Why? But with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Okay. Has that ever happened to you? Like, sure it does. Like, don't say no. Like, not to me, Pastor. You know, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Like, honey, I don't. You know, I don't want to be with you. Lord, you are awesome. Hey, you are disgusting. You know, like we do this. But then it says this, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. The same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And then there's this statement. I want you to think about this statement. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Okay, is it up there? There it is. Okay, so just the last line on the screen there, right? Not James 3:10, but these things. Okay, we'll say it all together. These things ought not to be so. Okay, let's do it again. 1, 2, 3. These things ought not to be so. Right? Would you agree? Right? Blessing and curse. It ought not to be so. Listen. When it says they ought not to be so, it's saying two things. One, they are. Okay. I don't know. Do you understand that? Like, these things ought not to be so, but they are. They are so. You say, but not, yeah, yes, they are. It says no man can tame the tongue. Right? These things ought not to be so, but first thing we see there is they are. That's why it says they ought not to be so. Right? And the second thing is, but this is the good part. They are, but the second thing is, they don't have to be. Right? They don't have to be. There's a solution. We are solution oriented. Like, and again, we're not talking about the axe. Okay, the axe head. We could talk about why the axe head got dull and what can we do to keep the axe head from getting dull. Meaning, like, ourselves, our lives, you know, many things. We're not talking about that today. We're just talking about, okay, when my accent is dull. And it shouldn't be. These things, what? Yeah, ought not to be so. Okay? They are sometimes. Like, they don't have to be. We can actually roll another way. But then, so even when we do, even when we do. Like, and we're really rolling another way consistently and for a long time. And then, but then, like, we go like, what? How did this, you know, how did that, where did that word come from? Like, where did that thought come from? These, the blessing God, you know, like, God, you are like, I love you. I hate you. I love you. Where did that come from? Like, it's, well, we'll see, right? But they ought not to be so. But listen, in the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace, okay? Or he gives greater grace unto the humble. He, just say this, he gives greater grace, right? He gives greater grace. Let's say that. Okay, let's combine the two sentences. These things ought not to be so, but he gives more grace. Okay. These things ought not to be so. It shouldn't be so, but he gives greater grace, right? Listen, it says, does the spring, this is verse 11, does the spring send forth, this is, back to chapter 3, verse 11, does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? What's the answer to that? No, it doesn't. You can't find one on this planet. I know some spring, you know. If you've never had like really like fresh spring water from the mountains, I'll take you someday to Potter County, Pennsylvania, and you say, "Well, water is water." No, it isn't. but there's, and that spring is awesome. Like, David's desiring the water from the spring in Bethlehem because it's not mixed, right? It's awesome, fresh water. A spring doesn't do that. How about verse 12? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Answer, no, right? The answer to both of these questions is no, no. But can blessing and cursing come from this same mouth? Yes, but these things, what? But he gives. Okay, remember that. Okay, this is like really important, like that we remember that. Because it says then in verse 13, listen, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of what? Wisdom. But if you have, okay, bitter envy. Bitter envy. Is that one of the things that ought not to be so? Oh, yeah, that's one of those things. Bitter envy. You ever had it? Don't answer. You don't have to. I mean, you can if you want to. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows that you have. if you have bitter envying, hopefully this morning you don't have it. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, hey, like the axe head is dull. You know, what should I do? I'm having such a hard time chopping down this tree. I once in the state of Kansas, me and my cousin, we tried to chop down a tree with dull axe heads. Then we tried to sharpen the axe heads. We didn't do such a good job, and we kept on trying to chop down a tree, and we couldn't do it. Then we tried a saw, and the saw wasn't very sharp, and we couldn't do it. Finally, after like 8 hours in the Kansas summer sun, we went out and rented a chainsaw. And that tree came down. But But listen, if like it's the wisdom, if the axe head is dull, the wisdom is just okay. Before you know, why waste your time? You know, rent the chainsaw first. You know, sharpen the axe head first, and then do it. That's the point, right? This is the wisdom. Wisdom is these things ought not to be so, but I need to shift. Like the reason that axe head is dull is because my wisdom is the wrong wisdom. It really is. It's my wisdom is the wrong wisdom. Look at this. Is like I have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart. Don't boast. Hey, yeah, are you happy about that? Do you have envy and self-seeking? Don't boast. Don't lie against the truth. This wisdom that you have doesn't descend from above, but it's earthy, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, then confusion and every evil thing. Say those three words. Every evil thing. Hey, these things ought not to be so. But there they are. Every evil thing. It says confusion and every evil thing are there. Oh. You ever been confused? Me too. These things ought not to be so. My axe head is dull. Hey, I need the sharpness. I need the word. I need the word. Really, a lot, an abundance of the word. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in your souls, right? Richly, abundantly. Like, get a lot of doctrine. But remember this. Like, these things ought not to be so. And you could easily condemn yourself and just live in and be discouraged. But wait a minute. But these things ought not to be so. But he gives what? Okay, there's abundant grace, right? Where sin abounded, what happened with grace? Super abounded, right? Much more. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, no hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Hey, these things should be so. Those are the things I want. Like, I want those things, but how do I get from the first things? How do I get from the these things ought not to be so to the things that ought to be so? Well, first I need to understand that he gives more grace, right? The patience of God, 2 Peter 3. Like, the patient, God is so patient, and it leads unto our sanctification. Really, it does. Like, it doesn't stop. It's amazing. The grace that comes, the patience of God. Look, chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? They come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members. You lust. Yeah, you. I'm not looking at anybody. I don't have my glasses on. See, I can't see you. I see, you know, shapes out there. But yeah, you lust and you don't have. You murder and covet. You're angry and you can't get it. You fight and war, yet you don't have because you don't ask. And you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Like, I don't like reading this. But no, I do, but I don't. But adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? These things ought not to be so, but he gives more grace. Okay. Are you with me? Like, these things aren't, they shouldn't be so, but he gives me grace. I mean, that's my testimony. Like, I've had a lot of things that ought not to be so. And praise God, I mean, sometimes I think actually, like, that there's sharpening, and it's awesome, and God is, you know, God, I'm so grateful for all of you. Like, you know, I think we're all grateful for each other and people who help us like this and sharpen us. And we're just so, like we want it. We talk, we say, yes, Pastor, like, you know, sharpen us more. Yes, tell us. Don't hold anything back, right? Is that true? Maybe. Yeah, it is. Like, we really... Because, why? Because there's always, because that we never, because we don't forget that he gives more grace, right? That's the thing. You can receive this, these things, hey, if it just ended with, these things ought not to be so. Thank you very much. That was very edifying. Not like, okay, there, yes, we get it. These things ought not to be so, but come on, take me somewhere. And the wisdom of God, you know, look this, I was just finished with this, with these next 27 verses. No. Okay. Yeah, Pastor Drew and I, we just decided that we think we're in, like, Peru right now, and so we usually go for about 4 hours when we're there. No, we're not. Okay, we're not. Okay, don't get nervous. Verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Is that how it says it? Okay, yeah. The Spirit, like, lusts to envy. Like, what's that mean? Like, he wants us. He wants my whole heart. The Holy Spirit wants my whole heart. He says, come on, you know, hey, but these things that I have ought not to be so. And he says, yeah, but I'm giving more grace. Right? Yeah, that's, you're right. They ought not to be so, but receive grace. Like, I'm be ready for grace. Look for grace. Expect grace. He gives more grace. They ought not to be so, but come on, he gives more grace. And then he says, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. I love it that God talks like this to us. Hey, cleanse your hands. You got dirty hands. Hey, I got dirty hands? These things ought not to be so. Hey, Peter and the disciples, Jesus is washing your feet. By the way, he said, like, you're clean. Like, isn't that a message too? Like, Jesus is washing the feet of people who he said, you are clean. Hey, if I'm clean, why are you washing my feet? Yeah, I am clean. You know what? When I have dirty feet, I am clean. God says I'm justified. God says I'm righteous when my feet are dirty. When these things ought not to be so are in my, and when I see them, like, God says, but I'm giving you greater grace. Like, right now, I'm just waiting to be gracious to you. It's what I do. It's what he does. So what's it say then? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Instead, when your axe head is, like, hey, when your axe head is dull, you say, like, hey, my axe head is dull. I'm not going to continue doing this with the dull axe head, I go another way. I'm gonna repent. I'm gonna repent. Verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is how we get where we're going. Humble ourselves, right? Because who is it that he gives more grace to? The humble. Why? Because the humble will receive it and be glad. Like when I, and by the way, like, you know, and I've said this before, like nobody's humble. You know, people say, I wish I was humble like him. Well, he's not humble. Nobody's naturally, no, it's a natural quality that exists in anybody here. But we are asked to humble ourselves. And I can do it like 1,000 times a day. And I, you know, could humble myself or I could exalt myself. What is your choice? Well, if you exalt yourself, then your axe head gets dull. But if you humble yourself, you get more grace and he sharpens you. And then you say like, okay, hey, those things that ought not to be so, maybe I'm actually seeing them less like in my life. Maybe I'm actually like seeing, hey, like, yeah, but you know, don't get proud about it because it'll pop up again. And you'll see that thought that ought not to be so. But when you get that thought that this ought not to be so, don't forget to connect it with he gives more grace, okay?
All right, Pastor Arto, you get that? Said that was for you. So, okay, we want to stand. All right, and just like, you know, actually, this Mark Knowles is getting married, and he's a Florida Gator, and they do this. Oh, no, they don't do that. That's right, that's their rivals that do this, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Florida State does this chop, chop, chop thing, right? Oh, I'm glad he's not here to correct me. He's got other things on his mind right now, I think. Okay, so just go like chop, chop, chop. Chop, chop, chop. Your axe head is sharp. Just do that. Just a little bit of exercise on a Saturday morning. Come on. We got Pastor Drew coming up after, you know, just chop, 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 chop. Yeah, come on. All right, you just want Pastor Drew come up. Okay, I got it. All right, Pastor Drew Wilczek from beautiful Tennessee.
Alrighty, thank you guys. Hey, as Pastor Stan was preaching this verse, it's Isaiah 30:18, right? It says, the Lord will wait to be gracious. I have a question. How long is he waiting for? Like, is he still waiting? Have you gotten it yet? Or is the Lord like, I'm waiting, come on. When are you going to get there? You can't tame the tongue. You're trying, but you can't do it. I'm waiting, you know. Hey, has anyone ever tried to tame their tongue? Yeah, huh? How'd that work for you? It's almost like you have nothing to say because, as Pastor Stan said, you can't tame it. It just cannot be tamed. So what am I going to do with it, right? You know, is it Ephesians 4? 30:28, let no corrupt communication, isn't this amazing the walk we have in the Lord, that you can have all the Bible knowledge in the world and still be cardinal? Isn't it? You can have all the doctrine that's available and still speak in the flesh. That like out of this fountain can come blessing and cursing, and you know what? It just ought not to be. Now, what am I going to do with this, Lord? How can I correct this thing? What do you think? Would you like to correct this thing? Well, you can't do it. Dang it. Give me an easy solution. Actually, it's a very easy solution. I think it's in Ephesians 5. Just walk in the Spirit. And what will happen? And you'll not fulfill, right? What do? I have cause to just walk in the Spirit. Hey, I was thinking of this verse this morning. I'm going to really be like, oh, you know what I really want to do? I'm going to tell some tree stories. I mean, this has got me. Many have cut down a tree or watched it. First big tree I ever wanted to cut down. I had to. It died. It's tall. It's 60 foot. I'm looking at it. It's in my front yard. It's a hazard. It's got to come down. I don't like cutting big things down that can fall on me. It's not. So I'm thinking this thing through, but I am the man of the house. I got to cut the tree down. And I have my son, 8 years old, James. He's 36 now, so this is really a long time ago. So I got a master plan. First, the tree's on my neighbor's property. And I go to my neighbor and says, you know, are you going to cut this tree down? He goes, no. I go, can I cut it down? He goes, yes, because it's... And, you know, in nature, when you cut something down, it's just going to fall a certain way. You can't really control it too much. But I'm going to control how this tree falls. Because if it falls the way it's supposed to, it's going to fall on my driveway and we're not going to be able to get in and out of our house. So here's the plan. And I've got a chainsaw, got the sharp instrument. Seeing to do good with the instrument, it's the coming up to and the afterwards that are the problem. So we get a long rope and a chain, maybe 60, 100-foot rope. We tie it to the tree, hook it up to a tractor. I've got my 8-year son on the tractor. It's running. And I'm cutting the tree down, fearing for my life, you know. And I've got, and his, all he has to do is just pop the clutch. Do we know that term? In other words, let it go and drive and make the tree fall this way when I cut it down. And I'm buzzing away, and here it goes, and it's falling the wrong way. And it's going, I'm going, James, James, and poof, goes the wrong way. And I go, son. What happened? You know, on the tractor, watching me. He says, well, you know, I just kind of drifted away for a minute. That's our lives right there. I just drifted away for a minute, and the tree fell the wrong way. I don't know what doctrine could possibly be in that. And so, like, you know, we celebrate this Christmas, you know, and we cut down a tree every year. But for us, it's like, my wife, who's here, we go Christmas tree hunting, and she has to find the perfect tree. Now, I mean, this is like a woman shopping. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just the way it is. And we'll go in, and maybe there's a lot of, and we'll see the first tree, and we go, there it is. It's perfect. And she'll look and says, yeah, but maybe 3 hours later, we come back to that tree. And actually, we know this is the tree. But that's not even relevant. What's relevant is the wife has to go look at all the trees. And, you know, some are split in the middle and some just on one side, and we'll go back to that tree. And so it's like a joke in the family when we go tree hunting. But the boys have gotten smart. What they do now is they sneak out at night. And they cut a tree down and just bring it home, you know? We, you know, are thinking, this is actually probably illegal, but we just like to get really nice trees that don't grow in the woods, which, like, you know, they're growing other places on the side of a highway, you know, tree-protected areas. And so we have always a sharp instrument, but the administration's not so good. So a couple years ago, it's late, a couple days before Christmas. They're off in the truck. They're going to go get a tree. I know where they're going. It's a new subdivision being built. And they plant the most beautiful trees in these subdivisions, you know. And we want it. I mean, lo and behold, they don't come back for a long time. Some of the other boys go off and they get a truck. And they have to get a truck. So they got there. They had the sharp instrument. They cut the tree down, but when they were driving away in the truck, they drove into a pit. I don't know, was it before or after the tree? We won't incriminate which sons or son-in-laws it were. So they had to get another truck, and they had to go pick up a tractor and bring the tractor to the area where they're at that they shouldn't be to pull the truck out of the ditch with the tractor so that they could bring the tree home. But boy, we cut that tree down fast. Just life. You know, we're just having fun. What's that got to do with anything? You know, and then here we are, and just a couple statements. And one, this is so amazing, and it's in Philippians 4. And Paul, you know, he's speaking to the church, and, you know, this verse gets misused to the nth degree, you know, and we'll try not to misuse it, even though it's hard to do. It's like when you get some of these Bible verses, like your flesh just wants a little piece of it, you know, like I could reap something from this. And it's where Paul's talking about the church giving to him. We're not taking an offering, but maybe we should. In Philippians 4, I think it's in 17, Paul is, he's speaking about to the Philippian church, and he says, not because I desire a gift of you, you know? And, you know, just even making that statement, it's just a little leery, like, oh, yeah, you do. I don't desire a gift of you. Huh? You ever heard this message at an offering time? Not that I desire a gift of you, but actually, I really do. But Paul didn't. And it's like he's going to a whole nother level that he could say, it seems as if, and I'm speaking, and you could easily mistake this to think, you know, Paul needs some money. And probably he did, right? But he's actually going to another level, and he's saying, you know what, guys, the work of God is so amazing. And God's doing so much that here's an opportunity that you can become a partaker. So he could go to this new level and say, not that I desire a gift, but here's what I'm really desiring. Yeah, maybe it's going to hurt your flesh a little bit. Maybe you're going to sense some loss. But my desire for you is going so much above. He says, but what I'm really desiring that, you know, I desire fruit may abound to your account. Now, how's that for a believer prayer? Wait, you know what? All of a sudden, there's no corrupt communication coming out of my mouth. All of a sudden, like, I'm not taming it, but there's a different heart desire. And he goes to this level that maybe they didn't even understand. And he's saying, you know what? For you to do this, like, God's really got something for you. And that's my desire for your life. I want to put you in a place, by the grace of God, where you're just going to get a little piece of what God is doing back to you. But do we want to be in that place? Oh, yeah, I do. And Paul is saying, well, come on and give of yourself. Look at this in our verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, this speaking about, and it actually is, you know, talking about a wise man's heart. And he says, you know what a wise man's heart does? It discerns. It discerns times and seasons. You know, we can accumulate a lot of wisdom, you know. Like, we're taking in so much, you know, doctrine. And, like, for me, you know, I'm looking, I'm listening this week. But I really need, like, something that actually produces an action inside of me. You know, not a mental assent. Easy to get a mental assent, isn't it? Yeah, I agree. Hey, that was great. And we're so thankful. Like, it's like a piece of candy. I want another one. But for something to go, like, in action inside of me. And for me, it was one word, and I don't even know if the word was actually spoke, but Pastor Schauer was talking Tuesday morning in the pastor's meeting. And and it was just about, like, communication. And, you know, I'm a low-level communicator for any of you that ever have communicated with me. You know, two sentences once a year, you know. Yeah, I'll be there this date, you know. Pastor Stan gets some, you know. I'll come here and I'll leave there. Love you. But, like, you know, as Pastor Shaw was just talking about our lives as minister, like, I got this, I mean, it's like it's a healthy conviction to, like, communicate, like, with the men, with the pastors, with, you know, we don't realize, like, when someone sends a statement to you, like, hey, how's it going? There's something really behind that. And, like, we can have a heart that it's like, wow, God, this is an opportunity now. And for me, that was, like, monumental. And actually, I even did it. It actually provoked me to action to go back through, like, communications over the last too long and say, ooh, I really need to respond to this man. you know, I know he's in God and I know he's doing great, but there's something by the grace of God that can be said. And you know what? Like, he's saying we want to be wise, but it's like a wise man heart. It discerns the time. Well, the time, you know what time it is? I mean, it's actually a hard verse in Hosea. I think it's 10:12. It says, you know what time it is. It says, break up the fallow ground of your heart, because it's time to seek the Lord till righteousness reigns upon you. It's time, like, you can't tame it. You can't control it. You can't satisfy it. But you can seek me, and I can change your heart. And it goes to another level. Like Paul would say, hey, I'm really wanting some fruit to abound in you. You don't even see it. And that's what we're wanting in one. We want fruit to abound in one another. And we just discern. And when he says a wise heart discerns the time, you know what? The time is the Lord's. This time is the Lord. And I have the privilege that I can go, yeah, this is the season. Whatever, maybe I don't like the season, you know, but it's the Lord's season. And I have the privilege. I go, yeah, Lord, you know. I love it in Daniel chapter 10. Two times we have Daniel on his face before the Lord. And in both times, I could not move. And he says, the Lord comes and it places his hand upon him. And these 2 inches, you'll just have to look it up. It says, oh, Daniel. And I love this statement. He says, greatly beloved of the Lord. What does that mean? We've heard it. We know it. But is there even more depth to it? Happens once, and Daniel's on his face. And then the second time, the Lord comes and he puts his hand upon him. And he says, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved. And you know what Daniel says? It strengthened me. And I said to the Lord, speak to me, because you have strengthened me. Now this is a sharp instrument. We just like just to be in the place and let the Lord like take the axe, you know, sharp, you know, and just strengthen me, Lord. Because you know what? When we realize, and we know it, but yet we don't know it. And like we know, but we can know it more. And if we really like how much, right, how much he loves us, how greatly we beloved him. You know what we can say? We can say, here am I, send me. We can say, speak, Lord, because you have strengthened me. You know what? Because this is what God desires to do. This is like wisdom, you know, like from above. And we just let it descend like rain. Hey, you know, in 1 Kings 3, like it pleased the Lord, Solomon's request, didn't it? And what was his request? He says, I need an understanding heart, Lord. And like, not for himself, because that would just go to abuse, but because of what? Because of your people. Isn't this cool? Our lives are not our own. Our lives are for other people. Isn't it? And I mean, this is where God says, I'm desiring like fruit on your behalf. Catch on. I can go for everything I need, everyone, everything I need to be fulfilled. And you know what? I'll be left wanting. But when I realize, oh God, it's about other people. How many of you remember Pastor's message, just bake cookies? I mean, there we, a lot of us would, right? It just says it all right there. All of a sudden, every problem, every trial, everything fades away because I'm learning what life's about, and it's about ministering to other people. This is a wisdom that's like from above. Amen? Thank you, guys.
Very precious, huh? Beautiful. Touching. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Drew, that's great. From the heart. Beautiful. In our pastor's meeting, I asked if they would just talk for a few minutes and like some of the highlights from this week and rehearse it, you know, think about it, like different messages, Ben Narr's message on prayer, Pastor Devendra's message, the message on purpose, the missions night, the messages, Pastor Mati and the thief in this house, and Pastor Rinaldo's message, Jack Wheatley's message. I have these things, people that I saw in the parking lot. You know, did it happen to you when you went home at night? You just kind of fell asleep thinking about somebody you saw, somebody you greeted, something that you heard, or something that touched your heart. We've been doing late nights, too. How about you folks? Anybody here tired? I mean exhausted. I mean, call 911 right now. I mean, it's been full. But I feel like if I can get it, you know, without having a health problem, but if I could get as much as I can this week, because you're going to be gone. Let's have a moment of silence. Oh, no. You're going to be gone, so. But if anybody wants to move here to Baltimore and so on, and if you've got the idea that this is life here like this every day, then you're wrong. No, actually, a little bit like this all the time around here. And you're welcome. Move down and be with us. Just for a minute, just can you think of one? How about getting up in the morning? All right, last night a great thing happened to me. I got home. I think I was home by 11:30. And I met my wife. We just kind of greeted, shared documents. This is really, I am your wife. You know, I am your, pointed to the marriage certificate, you know. No, there weren't even those many words. I go, I am time going to sleep. And you know, within a minute, so she said, and, she's laying awake, wants to talk to somebody. She looks over at the pile, which is me. You know, nothing there. Get up in the morning for our pastor's meeting. I think it was the first night that I slept more than 6 hours, which I usually sleep anyway, but some of them have been shorter, but I feel so rested today. Not like the folks that raised their hands this morning here. No, I'm like, wow, praise the Lord. There is such a thing as restoration. Wow. So I see my wife over here from a distance. I want to wave to her. Yeah, we haven't been able to, you know, I haven't seen each other, really. I looked at her photo the other day. But she is amazing to allow me to live like this. Isn't that awesome? Really, she's amazing. And we're going to catch up, I'm sure. There is the Federal Hill outreach today, if you would like to go on it. Is Pastor Gary, were you going to lead that? I'm on the schedule, and I'll be coming to it. Okay, we have maps on how to get there. Pastor Gary's going with a sketch board. I'll meet you there. I need to do one thing before I get there. So that's how it'll go. Okay, so, pardon? Is there a bus? Oops. Yeah. What time is the bus? 2 o'clock right here is the bus. We want to go down to Federal Hill. It's a part of Baltimore City where we have a church there. We'll do some soul winning and outreach. And then the service tonight. And I'm sure there's other things going on too. Been a great time. Okay, well, for just a moment of refreshment, would you just stand? Say to your neighbor one thing you remember from this week. Okay, share one message. Just stand with me for a moment and share with your neighbor. Okay, you may be seated. All right, so I just have one short lesson on a very practical level in church life. This is for pastors and body members. There's a verse in John 8 where it says, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. Right? We all know this verse. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So the whole idea of accusation, the whole idea of being unhappy with some, in some situation. We had a pastor's meeting. We talked about this. Pastor Mati brought up a question, a number of the other pastors too. We talked about it. When somebody is unhappy with you as a pastor, and they have something to talk with you about of a light nature or a serious nature, this happens. But it doesn't happen only with pastors. It happens with us as body members. We say there's air between us from the book of Job. That air, we can't have any air between us. Have you ever heard that phrase? We can't have any air between us. It's Pastor Stevens used the verse in Job where the scales of the serpent are so close to each other that there's no air between them. And using this for the body of Christ, that we're together and there's no air between us. Why is air significant? Because the devil lives, he's the prince of the power of the air. And there are, like in the world that we live in, there is a lot in the air. There's a radio wave on a physical level, there's electricity, there's waves, there's all kinds of waves you can't see, there's particles, there's light, and so on. And on a spiritual level, the devil inhabits this atmosphere. And he is the accuser of the brethren day and night. Revelation 12:11. One of his methods is to accuse. What he does day and night, meaning it's his nature. He is an embittered, angry foe. He's unhappy with God and his kingdom. He's restless, finding fault. He's cooking up things. He's thinking about how to accuse and attack the brethren. It's interesting because we are like him, and the same thing has happened to us in our hearts. We look at a brother or a sister and we see what is missing. We find fault. We may dream it up, cook it up, or even it could be true. And it's more not so much the person, but the restlessness in my own life, my own dissatisfaction. We have this just to draw a couple of pictures just for the sake of, you know, enjoying this iPad here. We have Jesus and people. And who could find fault with Jesus? You know, what could we say about Jesus that we would be on a certain day, we would say about him? What would be some of the things that we could say about Jesus? Because it's just so obvious that he is failing me. You know, why does he heal that person and not that person? Why doesn't he spend more time with me? Why did he look at me that way? Doesn't he know? Or why did he only come here? Why isn't he, if he is so great, why doesn't he say this or say that? You know, okay? If we could find fault with Jesus somehow, or a person could, I mean, we would say, I wouldn't do that. We could say that. I wouldn't do that. But actually, you know, we need to understand our own hearts better. And if this could happen with Jesus Christ, then could it happen in your marriage? Let's say the woman would say, the wife would say, my husband is, or my husband has not done, or I don't know why, I'm just unhappy with my marriage. My husband has not, and so on. Okay, so that's same with the husband, and he says, talks to his wife. And Pastor Stan said, there is this war in me, fighting in me. Where does strife and war come from? But what is dwelling in my own members? Because it is in Satan. And when we sinned, we actually came under a curse. And one of the curses that we have is this word vanity. And you know what that means? Well, it has a couple of meanings because it's changed a bit through time. But it really means an emptiness, a sense of no direction or purpose. We feel the waste. We actually feel we are wasting life. This is empty, a lack of satisfaction. You know, this is a curse upon us. But it's a curse that brings us in a good direction if you let it, and that is to go to God. So there's a very simple lesson here. When your wife cannot satisfy you, that may be good for you. Like what he said, these things ought not to be so. Yeah, it may be good for me to recognize and be humble before God and be restored, healed, and filled. And now I will look at my life from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will say, what are you complaining about? Your wife has lived with you like for so many years and put up with you. Your wife, is the fact that she's here is a gift. What are you talking about? Your wife is like, your wife is a believer. Your wife is a follower of Christ. Your wife is there, like your wife is kind. Your wife is a believer. Your wife prays for you. What are you talking about that there's something wrong with your wife? Get a grip. Get a right view. You know, so you have a couple of lessons here. One is Jesus. Another one is in a marriage, your spouse, wife or husband. Another one is your pastor. Another one is your church, your friend. And the reason why this is such an important teaching is because we get separated from each other because of our restlessness, our unhappiness, and the accusation that we make in our hearts regarding often they are the most important relationships in my life. Let him who was without sin cast the first stone. These are the most important. I find fault with God. Now, tell me, who in this room has never found fault with God? Yes, you have. Often it happens that God has failed me. God has let me down. I never thought that it would be like this. I'm very angry. If you go beyond, I would say I'm angry with him or her or them, but actually my anger is with him because I don't have the right doctrinal view. I don't have right perspective. So Satan's nature is really, actually I have it because I am in the same camp as him, of a lesser degree perhaps. But at any time, I could actually become very much like him. Very much like him. Yeah, just be part of a whole, dark world. And after a couple months of that negativity, the Lord could whisper in my ear and say, "Are you happy? What is your problem? Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Because Nineveh has repented, and you're just still filled with your anger." That's a whole other story, but you understand what I mean. Okay, let's go to the main point here. I think we'll get there. Here's a church. There's a church. Here's a leader in the same area. Here's another situation. Here's an area, a geographical area. Let's say, 100 miles away, there's another church and pastor. This man, he hears something about this man. And so this man hears something about him, and then he goes over here and tells him, 100 miles away. When he has a question about this man, why does he come over here and tell him? Why does he do that? I'll give you some answers. Number one, a lot of people don't like confrontation. In Asia, more strongly than here, there is this whole idea about losing face, being shamed, and being embarrassed. He doesn't want to talk to him because it's embarrassing to him. And the man that has the message, he has to be sure of what he's talking about. So it's easier to go talk to this guy to talk to the guy far away and say, there is something with this leader and I'm telling you. And what I should say to him over here is, have you talked to him? And if he says, no, I haven't talked to him, then why haven't you talked to him? Why do you bring it to me when really the Bible says that you are to talk to him in Matthew chapter 18? Why don't you talk to him? Well, I don't want to, the truth is, I don't want to talk to him because it's easier to talk to you. It's easy to talk to you. There's no confrontation. I'm just sharing news. But as I share the news, I'm violating the scripture because the scripture says I'm to go to my brother alone. Now look at what could happen. He goes to him to talk to him, and it's all cleared up. It's over. And then this guy over here never knows anything about it over here, which is what the way it's supposed to be handled. I am not to know about your stuff. I am not to know unless it relates to me personally. I'm not to know about what is going on amongst people unless it relates to me. Even as a pastor, to be honest, a lot of things that I know that are going on with a large group of people, it's not, in one sense, it's not really my business. It's your business. It's you are to live in a biblical way. And if it has to do with accusation, which is what I said earlier, the devil is the accuser of the brethren day and night, and he uses our flesh to find fault with people. And many times the fault that we have with people is not substantial and objective. It is, in a word, imagined. Why am I unhappy in my marriage? Good question. Write it down on a piece of paper. Can you write it down on your piece of paper, what's wrong with your spouse? And can you go to your spouse and read it to them? Will the piece of paper be a long 17 pages? If it's 17 pages, I wonder how much of it is imagined offense. Are you really serious? You know, you don't love me enough. It's like, are you actually gonna bring that to your spouse? Don't you know how it is in the human heart? And do you know what agape love is? Your imagined offense is really the result of not having agape love. Because agape love is 16 things mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. And that those 16 things are like amazing. Suffers long, thinks no evil, not easily provoked, not picky, not fussy, not behaving itself unseemly, rather tough in the sense it can endure all things, bear all things, believe all things. Agape love is incredible. And if you put it in a marriage, it is amazing. If you put it in a church, it's incredible. If you put it amongst churches, it's absolutely, it changes community, changes people. Absolutely is incredible. If you put it amongst friends, the friendships just go and go and go. And they don't even think any other thing but agape. That they don't accuse. They never accuse the other friend. You know, I'm disappointed with you. You know, you failed me. Okay, if that is true and you want to bring it to your friend's attention, can you write it down on a piece of paper? Okay. You offended me. You disappointed me. You know, and then write down your offense. You know, I loaned you $1,000, and it's been 3 years now, and I have never seen any of the money, and I don't think I will ever see that money. Okay, write it down. Okay, now bring that before God. And what does God say to your heart about it? How are you going to handle it? This is what God would say. Your relationship with that person is very important. What can you do to save the relationship? How are you going to handle this situation? How did you get into it? Why is the person disappointed? I borrowed $1,000, cannot pay it back. They are angry with me. I know how I will handle it. When they go into the church on the south door, I'll go at the church on the north door. When they sit in the third row, I'll sit in the 37th row. In the parking lot, I'll leave early. We will avoid each other. Okay. This is how sometimes we process our troubles. But there's you and I have to learn what agape love is and how to live so that our relationships are very important to us. Let's not lose our relationships. Our relationships are very precious. For where two or three are gathered, there am I. And you will be tempted at times in life to bring your trouble. There is the imagined, and then there is the very real injury. Let's change that page. And we're going to be done here in a minute, but okay, we have imagined injury. Boy, this is amazing. And then you have very real injury. Both kinds. Learning, because pastors are not perfect people, and they will not be like there for me always. And it may be God has ordained that I would have God, as I will have to go to God and get agape love. And as a pastor, I need to learn this subject really very well and teach it to people, agape love. Very real injury happens to people. Like I mentioned, the $1,000 or adultery in a marriage is devastating. I read a story about a man who told his wife, and she vomited, like she ran to the bathroom and vomited when she heard the news. She was devastated. It's devastating. Sin. Very real injury. But what is agape love? What is it? Who is God? God is love. What does love mean with us? You cannot just be a group of nice people. You have to be filled with God's Spirit. You cannot just get along for years and just be the good old club, the church club. There has to be more. There has to be the Spirit and outreach. What if our churches stopped outreach? Then where's the love? God's to love the world that he came here. So God loves, you know. I need to learn it. Also, I need to learn how to share my faith. And if you stop sharing your faith, you have to learn it over again. And in the church, I mean, even after years, we need to learn to share our faith and become listeners and ministers. Lastly, when somebody comes to you as a pastor with an accusation, you can ask them to write it down on a piece of paper. And we said in the pastor's meeting, it should be a short thing. If it is real, here it is, real injury, it's a short piece of paper. It's a short paragraph. But if it is imagined, it's 17 pages long. If it is in the flesh, it goes like this. And then you ask them to read it to you. Read what your accusation, what your complaint is to me. Read it to me. And then they will say, then they will ask you, do you understand? And say, yes, I do. Do you agree with me? No, I don't. So then they think, because you don't agree, you don't understand. So they talk an hour, try to explain it. But actually, you do understand. I understand, but I don't agree. For example, you know, I just have a different view. But they have a struggle a war in their own heart, a struggle in their own heart about how they're to look at what is happening. My disappointment should direct me to being spirit-filled and have agape love, and to forgive, and to tolerate the trouble, and to look at it as, okay, God is with me and wants to teach me that this world is not about me and me having happiness and me having the relationships that will satisfy me, but it's about me learning to lay down my life for the brethren, for guilty people, for me to take the loss. I lost $1,000, a brother could say. I lost $1,000. I can't afford to lose it, but I lost $1,000. And I'm not going to talk about it. It happened. I'll tell you the story. The brother borrowed $10,000 from the bank for a business deal, gave it to the investor who was in the church. He took this money, and within a short time, it was lost. And he came, told the guy he borrowed it from, who borrowed it from the bank, and he said, I've lost the money. So he came to me to tell me, and I said, how many people know about this? He said, just my wife and you, and that's all that I'm going to tell. I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm going to pay the bank every month to make my payments, and I'm not going to talk about it, but that's it. About 10 years later, he came to me, and he said, it's all paid off. I said, have you told anybody? You know, and he said, no, I haven't. I forgave him, you know, 10 years earlier. I forgave him. I'm just making the payments. I made a foolish decision. I'm going to make the payments, and that's it. I go, you are an amazing Christian. That's amazing. What do I want to say about it? Simply, it can be painful what you may go through. It may not be easy, but isn't this about the Holy Spirit, you know, teaching us agape love? Isn't the life that we're living a different kind, where we're learning how to live in Christ and be different, to forgive a lot and again a lot and to forgive a lot, you know? It is. It's something extraordinary. In this week, in my opinion, to have so many people with such different background, with nothing between us except the Holy Spirit speaking from the Bible to our hearts and preparing us for our work and our ministry, this is amazing. But here's a warning. When somebody gets close to you and they love you and you're together and you share sweet counsel, that's the thing that hurts. When there's a fallout between you, when it gets under your skin, it bothers you, you can't sleep. My faithful, good friend and I have a difference, and it troubles me to the bone. You know, that hurts. And that's Psalm 55. And the name was Ahithophel and David. The names, Ahithophel and David. That hurts. It can happen. I think it can take you out. I think it can get deep inside and produce depression. I think it can be devastating. But agape love will heal us. Agape love will comfort us. Agape love will teach us. And we'll learn to forgive and love again and trust again and build again. It happened to me at different times in my ministry with people that I love very much, and we walk together. But now we go different ways. And that's fine, because if that's God, my life is not, you know, this little lesson, because we're not together a lot. So let me just take a minute and explain this little lesson. I have 8 chairs, eight friends, eight people in the church, eight people that are close to leave. Now we have six chairs, six people, two empty chairs. How am I going to look at that situation? We could sit there, the six of us sit there and just say, wow, it's so sad. The two brothers, two chairs are empty. Where are they? We could talk all day. Where did they go? Why aren't they here? And that's how the fellowship could be. We'll miss our two brothers. The other way is, who is here? Jesus is here. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. Jesus is here. So now the six of us are talking about Jesus. We're not talking about the two that left. We're talking about Jesus and who he is. What does he have to say to us? God is with us. Let us love one another fervently. And now we have a fellowship with Christ at the center. The people that left are not at the center. Jesus is at the center. Christ has something to say to the six of us. Are we sorry they left? Yes, maybe they come back, maybe they don't. But for us to live is Christ. Christ is with us. This is like Paul in prison. Christ is here. So here we are. Let's minister. There's a soldier here. Let's minister to him. And so we have a ministry. And in a while, there may be 25 people there. What about the two? I don't know. May God bless them. But that's their life. But our life is Jesus. Jesus is here, and he has a message. And he has something he's doing. Maybe he wants to heal and bring in somebody and save them. You see, accusation grows. Accusation is painful. What is missing? Two brothers are missing. Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. Two brothers are... But wait a minute, who is with us? Jesus is with us. He fills the room with himself. This is the problem. This is where people lose their way, become emotional, sentimental, subjective, and get off target. We are to set our eyes on him, study and prepare and think in the right way. Learn to build. Okay, so that's a good couple good lessons there. Huh? Good word? Okay. Okay. Amen. Lord, thank you. Is that it, Pastor? Okay.